That's a Rodgers and Hart tune called My Funny Valentine, a performance by Jerry Mulligan, the baritone sax player and also pianist Charlie Ernst. And this recording on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local performances. And on the program today, we have the first jazz we've had on the show for a while, I think. I'm not sure why that has had such a lapse, at least live jazz. And we've got a septet of all things in our studio. That means seven players, makes it full. My headphones are probably on for at least partly for sound protection today. Depends how easy the drummer wants to go on us. But the occasion is a CD release party by the Adrian Barnett Septet, which is happening at the Iron Post in Urbana on Thursday at 7 o'clock. And then a few of these guys are also going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington with some very different music, a group called Sun Stereo. Adrian is among those. And so Adrian is our Barry Sax player, and also with us, if I didn't misplace my piece of paper, Clark Gibson on alto and tenor. It looks like he's got both of them here. Easton Stewart piano, Ewan Edmonds on trombone, Kevin Barassa trumpet, and flugelhorn. He's got both of those too. Matt Endress on the drums and Sam Peters on the bass. Several of you guys have been on the show before. Thanks for coming back. And
my pleasure.
Thanks for those who haven't been in before for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is my first time here, so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, sure. Well, Paul Worth over at the Iron Post, when I said who's coming up that maybe we should consider for having on the show, he said, this guy, Adrian Barnett, said he's... I actually don't remember what he said after that. Other than this guy,
you probably can't repeat that on the radio, right?
No, he was very complimentary and said, you know. And So I looked him up, and here it says various things about him, including that he's in the doctoral program here at the University of Illinois in the Jazz Studies division. And a lot of these guys, is anybody here not in one of the jazz programs at the U of I? Easton, you graduated, right?
Yeah.
So you were. Yeah, Easton's
good. Yeah. He is the doctor in the house, the resident doctor.
Oh, you finished it and everything?
Yes, sir. You need a prescription?
Prescription for jazz.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, people can phone them in. We'll send it to your closest Walgreens. So, Adrian, tell us about the pulling together of the CD, or maybe it's the pulling together of the group first.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had this idea of recording an album for many years now, and on my last doctoral recital here at the University of Illinois, I put together a septet, and I wrote a lot of these charts and performed them on that recital. And after that, it went so well, and I'm very privileged to be able to hang out with these guys, the caliber of musicians that are in this room right now. And it's really cool that they're actually my friends, too, and want to hang out and, like, play my music and work on it. So I just want to thank them. But I put this group in some type of configuration together a few years ago, and I wanted to record an album after that because everything went so well. But I thought about it, and I had a lot of credit card debt. So I was like, I guess the adult in me got the better of me, and I paid off my credit card instead of going into the recording studio. And so since then, I just kept thinking about it. I was like, I need to do this before these guys leave. And some of the guys had left town. Like, Jay Sawyer was in that original configuration, along with Ben Sampson and Mike Harmon.
Jay's a drummer.
Yeah, Jay Sawyer was a drummer.
Forget the other guys.
Yeah, and Mike Harmon was a bass player. And Ben Sampson, who is now in some Air Force band. He's in the Air Force Academy band. Yeah, he was the trumpet player for that. So, months had gone by, and I still wanted to do this, so I called Matt, and I said, hey, do you want to record a record? I'm going to try to make this happen, and he was all about it. So I kind of got Matt's hopes up and told him that it was going to happen, and then sure enough, it didn't happen because I didn't have the finances and anything else. So it fell by the wayside once again. And then I think I talked to him again, and I said, hey, I'm going to make this happen if I get this gig, because I was waiting to hear from a gig. So I was like, if I have the money, we're going to do this.
This was a big gig, I get it.
Yeah, it was a pretty solid gig, and sure enough, that fell through. And so when that happened, I just kind of picked up all my stuff and I moved to Nashville, actually. I got down there September 1st and I'd been hanging out and I just really couldn't get this idea of recording this album out of my mind. So I had a little bit of emergency money from gigs and that's what I used to pay these guys to play on this record. And everything else I just threw back on the credit card. So it didn't even matter about the credit card debt initially. So I put all these guys together and I told them about what was going on. I sent them the charts. I sent them the recordings from the recital. And I had a new tune that I had written in the meantime as well. So I gave them the recordings. And then in January, after the Gen Conference, I came up here. We got together, did a couple days of rehearsal, and then a couple days of recording. And there we have it.
And
the rest
it's out.
Is history. Yeah. And Kevin Barassa, he did all the recording, all the mixing, and all the mastering on the album. Which is pretty amazing.
Which means he gets both the credit and the blame, depending on how it goes.
Yeah, so if you don't like it, talk to Kevin. I had nothing to do with it.
What's the Gen Conference?
The Gen is the Jazz Education Network Conference.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was down in Dallas, Texas.
Why a septet?
Well, actually, Glenn Wilson, I was studying with him at the time of my doctoral recital. And I told him I wanted to do my original music, and he said, oh, you should do four horn charts. And I said, okay, you know, I'll give it a shot. I kind of wanted to just do it as a quartet. That was the original vision. But on the suggestion of Glenn, I started writing all these tunes, and I had the majority of them written for a septet for that particular recital. And then after that, I really fell in love with writing for a septet. It was challenging for me. I think I learned a lot, and I really liked the sound that I could get out of this configuration. So I did that. I rearranged a couple other tunes, wrote another original tune, and wanted to do just a full-on album with the septet.
So when you say a four-horn group, that means basically a rhythm section, piano, bass, drums, plus four horns.
Yep.
Which in this case, two saxes, trombone, and trumpet.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you give us a demo?
All right, sounds good. We are going to play a tune off the record entitled Catfish. Thank you.
That's a fun tune.
Thank you.
Catfish by Adrian Barnett with the Adrian Barnett Septet. Adrian Barnett on baritone saxophone, Clark Gibson on, you playing alto on that one, right? Ewan Edmonds on trombone, Kevin Barassa on trumpet, Easton Stewart, I'm looking at everybody and not my sheet, on piano. I got your name, but I couldn't get your instrument. And Sam Peters on bass, and on that really kind of cool drum solo, Matt Endres.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What was this leaning onto the drum thing?
I mean, I don't know. Whatever comes to mind.
It just seemed like the thing to do at the time.
Over.
Yeah, getting some interesting colors out of the instrument.
Thank you.
You know, Adrian, let me first of all backtrack, and I have to do a little housekeeping and say that on Live and Local today, our program is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. These guys have recorded a brand new CD. It is just out, and you can buy one if you want on Thursday.
Absolutely.
And even better, just go there to hear them play live. I'm sure they'd be happy to sell you one at the Iron Post in Urbana, 7 o'clock. And then some of them also in a group called Sun Stereo going to be at Castle Theater in Bloomington on Friday.
That's correct. And Sun Stereo is also playing here at the Iliac Festival on Saturday night from 8 to 9. Is that right? 8 to 9.
What is the Iliac Festival?
I don't know. Do either of you guys know exactly what that is?
All I know is we're playing on a stage set up on Main Street between, was it Broadway and Race? So it must be pretty big.
Iliac Festival.
I'll have
to look it up.
This is the first that I've heard of it, too. We just let our band leader, Kelly McMorris, kind of call the shots on that one. Nice. So hopefully it's a real festival. I don't know. You'll have to come and find out for yourself.
It's going to be a big traffic jam downtown Urbana.
Yeah.
For some reason, it better be for a festival, right?
Yeah.
When I did the wrote the promo and recorded the promo for today's show, I said I'm not very knowledgeable in any about jazz, and anybody who listens to the show regularly probably can tell. But I went out on a limb, or maybe not, and said that it's not all that common for a Barry sax player to front a band.
No, I don't think that is very common. I'm not entirely sure why that is.
That's too bad, because that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You know, as a doctoral student, I should probably have the answer for that, right?
I think it's probably just because proportionately there's less Barry sax players.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, if you think of the configuration of a big band, you have two altos, two tenors, and one baritone. So looking at the ratio of everything, there are just few baritone players in the world, I do believe.
So that's for starters.
Yeah, and specifically just baritone players. Like, a lot of saxophonists will double on all the saxophones. But for Clark, what do you call your home base?
Alto.
Alto? Yeah, so Clark plays all the saxophones and a bunch of other woodwinds, but his home base is the alto saxophone. So for me, I do the same thing, but my home is definitely on the baritone saxophone.
So let's talk about the differences. It's basically size and range, right?
Yeah, pretty much. All the fingerings are the same. The altissimo registers are a little different from horn to horn.
And by altissimo, you mean high?
Yeah, the very high register, like beyond the keys that are put on the horn. You can do some different fingerings to get different sounds that go beyond the register of the typical instrument. Yeah. What else? They're in different keys as well. Like the alto and the baritone are pitched in E-flat, where the soprano and the tenor are in B-flat. So all the saxophones are transposing instruments, which means they don't read in concert pitch, like a piano or a bass or a trombone for that matter.
And there is such thing as a bass sax.
There is, yes.
That doesn't show up in big bands too often, does it?
Not too often. Actually, what happened was they used to have bass saxophones in big bands, and then the advent of the baritone became a little more popular, and so they started writing for baritone saxophone instead of the bass saxophone. And that's kind of how the family of saxophones ended up with the five-piece in the typical big band.
I was reading an article that's actually in front of me here from a website called bestsaxophonewebsiteever.com.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Oh, you haven't been there yet?
Yeah.
And then it was republished in Downbeat magazine, but originally originated on that website. But it's talking about the idea that partly about the idea that the Barry sax isn't a a frontman instrument very often, and he doesn't seem to come up with a reason either, except that maybe the notion that there's not as many of you is because it's harder to play, and then he sort of disputes that notion.
Yeah, I've heard people say that too, and I don't really necessarily think that's the case. I mean, each saxophone in and of itself has its own intricacies and difficulties, and some things are easier on a certain horn, some are more difficult. I think, you know, maybe part of it is just the size of the instrument. It's a lot of weight to carry around for gigs, so if you can pick a smaller horn, it just kind of makes your life easier. So that could be part of it.
But every jazz group has a drummer and a bass player.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe saxophones are just lazy, so they pick the smaller ones. What do you think, Clark?
I think
he's not going to own up to that part.
I think it's the history of arranging. It's lower than the human voice. People want to hear what's in their vocal range. That's why most people pick tenor, actually. But I also think, you know, when you're arranging, the baritone saxophone traditionally is a support instrument, not a lead instrument.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's been like that. It was like that for decades, really until... You know, probably until guys like Jerry Mulligan, really.
Which is who we let in and led the show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Opened the show.
Yeah. So it's always kind of assumed the role of a support instrument. I mean, bass and drums, you know, these guys, they gig all the time. Because everybody needs bass and drums. And then everybody's going to cut a saxophone player out of the budget. And they're probably going to start with the Barry. And then they're going to go to the alto. And then they're going to cut you.
Well, it's part of it because you do when you're in a supporting role, you're taking the low end of things, in harmonically speaking. Whereas the bass is gonna provide a combination of rhythm and harmony, but the Barry sax, if you can do without anybody, it might be the low stuff.
Yeah,
there's some reason for that.
Yeah, that does make sense. And like Clark was saying, it's not one of the lead voices in a big band, so.
But it is in your band.
Yeah, and I wasn't getting much work, so I just figured I'd start my own band. Yeah.
You were talking, though, about how when you started arranging for this, it was hard for you to put yourself as, like, the front voice and follow the traditional.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's one thing that I had to take into consideration when arranging these charts, too. Because typical instrumentation and like, just voicing and arranging doesn't have the baritone necessarily doing the melody a lot of the time. And I kind of like playing the melody, and I figured since it's my band, I can kind of do whatever I want to. So it was a really interesting challenge for me to have the baritone play the melody sometimes. And in other tunes, I just didn't have the baritone play the melody at all. Like, all these tunes, when they were written, they were initially, the concept in my mind was having the baritone be the main melodic instrument. So I had to take that concept and apply it to this whole setting. So some tunes have the baritone playing the melody. In one of the tunes, the actual title track on the album, It's About Time, typically I've done that with my groups back in Minnesota, and I play the melody. But in this instance, I gave the melody to the flugelhorn, and the baritone is back doing the supporting role. So throughout this album, the baritone is really bouncing back and forth between being in the supporting role in the low end and playing the melody. And sometimes what I'll do is double the melody in octave, so I'll have another member of the group playing the melody along with the baritone, and the other voices are in between that.
Catfish.
Yeah, exactly, like Catfish right there, one of the tunes we just played. The baritone's playing the melody throughout the entire chart.
Yeah, so what sort have we got next? Which variety of what
we are going to try a funk tune here. This one is called Put It On My Tab. And this actually is a tune that I played with the guys. I'm from Minnesota. And when I wrote this, I basically just wrote one lick. And we had this electric bass player back home who could do a lot of really cool slap bass stuff. So I figured we'd just write a tune where he can play a bunch of crazy slap bass at the beginning of it. And then I'd join him and just play this one lick. And that's kind of how we cued going on, so different solos would go after that. But when I brought it to the septet, thinking about it for the album, I thought I should probably write a little bit more than just one lick that's only four bars long. So I came up with an intro, put that lick in there, and then I put some hits and figures in the drum solo as well that'll happen later on. So this is called Put It On My Tab.
By Adrian Barnett with the septet, live in our studio on Live and Local. We'll be right back. The Adrian Barnett Septet, Put It On My Tab, the name of that tune, by Adrian himself, here on Live and Local. They're live in our studio on FM 90.9, and they'll be playing Thursday night at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, 7 o'clock show. It's their official CD release party, a brand new CD called It's About Time, right?
That's correct.
And once again, the personnel, Adrian Barnett, Barry Sax, Clark Gibson on... Which were you playing on that one, Tenor?
Alto.
You were on alto? I wasn't paying attention. You've put them both down this time, so I... Matt Endres is on the drums, Sam Peters on the bass, Easton Stewart on piano, and semi-organ on that one, I guess, sort of, kind of, or whatever you were
courtesy
doing.
Courtesy of the Clavinova Electric Funk EP patch.
Is that what that was? And Kevin Brass, the trumpet, and Ewan Edmonds on the trombone. And I'll mention, too, the Sun Stereo gig on Friday at Castle Theater in Bloomington and at the, what is the name of that festival?
The Iliac
Festival. Iliac Festival, which we don't know what that is.
Yeah, go on, to Main Street
and
find out on
Saturday. Yeah. Well, tell me just briefly, since we've mentioned it a few times, Sun Stereo. Ewan's in that, Adrian, you're in that, and Kevin, any of the rest of you guys in that?
Nope.
That's not a jazz group.
No, it's not. It's kind of a hard group to describe musically. I usually tell people it's like electronic rock with a live horn section.
And pretty much everybody in the band is a jazz player in other contexts.
Yep, everybody in that group kind of came out of the U of I jazz program, except for Kelly McMorris. What's that?
I said except for the band leader.
Yeah, except for the band leader, who I believe he studied... musical theater composition.
Yeah, that's what it says here. And I didn't know that the U of I had a musical theater composition.
I did not either.
Program.
Yeah, I don't know. He was the one and only graduate of that program. No, I'm just kidding.
We don't know that. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great songwriter, though. He writes some really catchy, interesting stuff.
We were talking about, I mentioned this article that I was reading by a guy named Andrew Hadrow.
Oh, yeah, he's the curator of jazzberrysax.com.
Yeah, well, it's all. This is from that best saxophone website ever CD or website.
Oh, okay, all
right. Best saxophone website ever website. And the article's called Anything You Can Do, We Can Do Better on the Baritone Saxophone. And he calls it the king of all horns. And I love his last line. He said, as for now, I would like to say to all of you subway riders, fellow air travelers and street gawkers, no, this is not a cello. It's a baritone saxophone. And it's going to melt your face off. So he's a bit of a partisan. Yeah, he's a bit of a partisan. Speaking of melt your face off, am I correct in having perceived that some of the photos I've seen of you, Adrian, really do have you playing both a Barry and a tenor at the same time?
Yes, that's correct.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. You know, there's actually a guy by the name of Rahsaan Roland Kirk. He was a jazz musician, and he's the guy who got me interested in that. I grabbed one of his records, and he was playing multiple woodwind instruments at the same time. And so I saw that, and I figured I might as well give it a shot. And that's kind of where that started. So I started just kind of playing an alto and a tenor together at the same time while I was getting my master's degree, and goofed around on that for a little while and then just put it down for a number of years. And then I thought about it in the past couple of years, so I tried it again, and now I've been actually doing that in public. So I do that with a band back home called the DW3 based out of Mankato, Minnesota. And I played a jazz festival last night in Medelia, Minnesota, where I was the guest artist, and I did that on Herbie Hancock's Chameleon for a little while. I just played a couple background figures.
So when you do that, are you playing essentially the same thing on both horns?
Well, they're in different keys, as I said before. So if I fingered, say, for instance, a C on the baritone and a C on the tenor, I don't want to do that now. But, like, if I play a C, Clark, let's just play a C. If you play a C with me, this is two people playing two saxophones. Yeah, they're not the same pitch. So whenever I have to do that, I kind of think in three keys in a way. I think about the key of the baritone, the key of the tenor saxophone, and then the concert pitch of the tune, and then try to transpose things and make it happen that way. So it's a lot of work, and it really takes three times the air, too, because you have air going through one horn, air going through another horn, and then some that escapes because of the embouchure. At least I haven't mastered the embouchure enough to not let any air escape. But it's kind of a fun thing to do. It's one of those things that I definitely need to practice and hone my skills on, just as with playing the saxophone, but I get a lot of entertainment out of it, and it seems like other people do as well. So,
well, I noticed that all the photos in which I saw you doing it, you know, like your legs are spread out like this is the really manly thing to do. That's sort of like a circus act or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. I guess I didn't even realize that I was doing that.
Yeah, check him out. Your photos. I mean, I just found these with an easy search for Adrian Barnett.
And, oh, wow. That's a little
scary.
There's
a bunch of photos.
I'll have to check
or maybe that's actually on your website.
It probably is. I think I put some of those up there. Yeah. A lot of people get stuff off of Facebook, too. I think the reason that I do that, actually take that stance, is so that way I can balance one horn on one leg and the other one kind
of
on the other.
Well, that could be it, yeah.
It's a little bit more support that way. Yeah, and then a lot of times I'll just switch and put the baritone down and let it hang on the neck strap and play more melodic stuff on the tenor saxophone.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't think ahead to ask you to bring some other sax. And so we have a demo, because I'm really curious to know how that would even work.
Yeah, it's a really interesting sound. A lot of times I'll just use the same fingerings on both horns, but for some other tunes, like, I try to work up something. So I was a guest artist at another jazz concert, high school jazz concert, earlier this year, and they were playing a Gordon Goodwin tune called Crunchy Frog. And it started off with this little riff, so I figured I should kind of try to work up an intro where I could play a cadenza on both of the horns and then play that beginning riff of the song to lead the band into it. And that worked out pretty well. But it's a lot of work. I'm definitely not proficient at it.
Kevin, can you play two trumpets at the same time? Or a trumpet and flugelhorn?
I mean, not well.
But you have done this?
I've tried it before, yeah.
There you go.
I'm not going to ask you to demonstrate, unless you really want to.
I mean,
I was just curious if anybody does
that.
Yeah,
you can do it, but, you know, like, your embouchure is usually right in the middle, and then you have to figure out how to make it on both sides of your face.
Well, he's got the same issue.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it might be easier. You know, a funny thing about that, too, I've done that at clinics going out to schools and whatnot sometimes, just to entertain, like, really young kids. And this one kid was not impressed at all. I played two at the same time. He raised his hand. He goes, well, can you play three?
Yeah, what did you do with him?
I said, you know what? I've never tried it, but I'll try it right now. And I tried it, and something came out, and that's all the further I went with that.
Did he appear to be impressed at that point?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
He probably wasn't going to be no matter what.
No, I don't think so. I just kind of gave up on that one. Talked to the kids that were smiling.
The show is live and local here on FM 90.9. Our programs are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. What do you want to do next? Is this with the Barry as a supporting instrument, or are we sticking with solos today?
We are going to, well, actually, this is the tune that I was talking about earlier. It's going to be the title track off the album, It's About Time. So Kevin Barassa will be playing the melody and flugelhorn. This will have a baritone solo in it, and this piece in particular is a little bit more through composed. I put specific solos in specific orders throughout this one. So you'll hear from Easton on the piano, and then a baritone solo, and then Sam Peters on the bass on this tune. So here's the title track off of our latest album, which is available on iTunes and CD Baby.
Which is also your first album.
Yes.
First
our
and
latest
and
album
latest.
And first album. It's About Time. Thank you.
It's About Time, the Adrian Barnett Septet, one of his own compositions, and that is the title track from their brand new CD out just, is it officially out this week?
Yeah, it came out officially April 22nd.
So it's been out all of a few weeks.
Yeah.
Or at least a couple now. Anyway. Well, yeah, what is today? May 6th, so just a couple weeks. But they're doing their CD release party at the Iron Post in Urbana Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And it's a real treat to have you guys in the studio. It sounds terrific.
Thank you so much.
I'm enjoying these compositions. Is everything on the CD, are they all originals?
Yep. Yep. All my original compositions and arrangements on this album. So I wrote all the tunes and then I arranged them for this configuration specifically.
For this configuration and for some of these specific players? I mean, did you have some particular players in mind as you were writing, or just did you just stick with the instruments?
I mean, in a way, I kind of did. Like, on my recital, when all these tunes were debuted, Clark, Ewan, and Easton also played on that recital. So I did have some of those guys in mind when writing this.
I imagine that things take on a different character whenever you do that.
Yeah, they do a little bit. And for me, like I said before, it's just been a real treat to play with these guys. Not only are they outstanding musicians, but they're all some of my closest friends. So when I bring them this music, they not only do they come in and put in the time and energy to learn this, but they give me their two cents, too. And their musical feedback has been outstanding. I think that's really what helped just bring this music off the page and make this album what it is. I'm really proud of how everything turned out, and these guys all sound terrific on the album. And that was like another thing for me. I tried to surround myself with musicians that were far better than I was, and it's great because I mean, I think you can hear that, and it just really makes my music jump off the page. I'm just elated. Well, I drove down here today from Minnesota, and I listened to that album nonstop for the entire 8 hours in the car. With a big smile on my face, because it's so fun to be able to hear these guys on that record and playing music that I wrote. It's really special for me.
Yeah, that's probably saying something if you can listen that many times to something you wrote and still enjoy it.
Yeah, right? I think a lot of it is just to do with these guys. You know, it's really cool to have some of your closest friends make this kind of music with you. And speaking of these people, I would like to plug that they are also in a group called the Old Style Sextet. So they have six members in that band. It includes Matt, Sam, Easton, Ewan, Clark, and Mike Finolio is the other member. And they are doing a Kickstarter thing to record their own album coming up soon. And you guys have a gig at the Post tomorrow for that, is that right, Clark?
Yep. Yeah. Iron Post, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, okay.
9 o'clock. And that, speaking of, oh, you go ahead, sorry.
No, and that's called what?
The Old Style Sextet.
Old Style Sextet.
Yes. And you guys do all your own original music as well, right?
Yeah.
So and Clark, I know you, sometimes you front your own band too, right?
Yeah, a few, you know, we all kind of,
everybody
whoever
does
gets
it
the gig
time
fronts the band.
Yeah, because I know I've seen your, name listed at some things, and Easton as well, and probably the rest.
We're all band leaders and side men, all of that.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good skill to be able to do both.
Well, sure. I'm sure that's true, because even the folks who quite famously fronted bands didn't necessarily start that way.
That's correct.
Nor did they all necessarily end up that way.
Right.
So, well, as I said, it's been a treat. Just real quick, if somebody just became enamored of the Barry Sachs from listening to you today, who are some of the better known Barry Sachs players that they could run out and find recordings by these people? We mentioned Jerry Mulligan.
Yes, Jerry Mulligan. One of my favorites is Ronnie Cuber. He is a fantastic baritone saxophonist based out of New York. He played with the Saturday Night Live band for a while and also in the Charles Mingus Big Band. He is a guy that I really admire. He's got a good sense of humor in everything he plays, fantastic sound. I have yet to meet him, but I hope he's a nice guy when I get the opportunity. Speaking of nice guys that are baritone players, Dennis de Blasio is another guy I would recommend. He is one of the nicest human beings I have ever spoken with. He's a guy that I first heard my sophomore year in high school and really got me excited about music. I transcribed a solo without even knowing what transcribing was. I just sat in my room and played it repeatedly and repeatedly and got to meet him, and he's one of the nicest guys ever, like I said before. I can't say that enough, even though I've said that a million times, but he's a great guy. Pepper Adams is another iconic baritone saxophonist as well. Glenn Wilson teaches at the University of Illinois. I know he has albums out, lives in Bloomington. Those are the top guys that come to mind.
And then I understand Harry Carney's sort of the original guy, but always in the supporting role.
For the most part, he did some solo work, though, as well.
Well, that's, that was kind of, I kind of thought, that Duke Ellington was really one of the first arrangers to put baritone saxophone on the top voice and not in a supporting role. And it gave Duke Ellington a very unique sound right from the get-go.
So there's a little bit of your really brief jazz history, at least as it pertains
to
past and present baritone sax players. Well, I was hoping we'd have time for another tune, and because I know you got one up here, but it's all of a minute left on the show. So
okay,
we'll leave it at that.
All right, that sounds good. Can I thank Paul at the Iron Post as well?
Of course you can.
Yes, I'm a big shout out to Paul. He's been a fantastic jazz advocate in this town. He always has jazz music going on at the Iron Post. So Paul, wherever you are, if you're listening, thank you so much for everything you do. And we'll see you soon.
Paul Wirth, Iron Post. Let's reintroduce the guys, Adrian Barnett on Barry Sax, Clark Gibson on the other saxes, Ewan Edmonds trombone, Kevin Barassa trumpet, Easton Stewart piano, and Sam Peters on the bass, and Matt Endress on the drums. Thanks all for coming in. And join us again for another show tomorrow. It's live and local every weekday from 4 to 5. I'm Kevin Kelly. And you're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered. It's 5 o'clock.